Hello, welcome to the Insurance Contracts podcast recording for the December board meeting. My name is Andrea Pride, I'm the Insurance Project Team Leader, and I'm here today with Stephen Cooper, the ISB member. The board's discussed four topics related to insurance contracts this month. The participating contracts, discounting for the liability for incurred claims, the unit of account, and onerous contracts. On the participating contracts, we made some progress this month in that we had previously divergent decisions with the FASB, and I think today we saw that the boards have in fact come together. Steve, could I ask you to comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's an important decision and a good sort of move in this project. We have a few areas of differences with the US where we've come to different conclusions, and this was one of the key ones. So having a common decision now on participating contracts is very pleasing. I note we've still got some work to do to finalise the words and make sure that they really are aligned, but I think this is a significant change. One thing I would highlight, and this was a concern that I've heard from some investors, that if we do this, will all the embedded options and guarantees actually be at current value? And I think we reconfirmed in the meeting and would want to emphasise that that is exactly the case. The concerns that some had that we might somehow miss these things out, those are unfounded.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that the transparent reporting of the options and guarantees has always been one of the key reasons for having this project. Having those at current value was always the ISB's intention in May. It was implicit in the FASB's November discussion, and at this meeting we've just confirmed that explicitly, so that there should be no doubt that that's going to be at current value. The next topic we discussed is one which has been very contentious over a number of years, and that's to do with the discounting for the liability for incurred claims. We've still got some work to do on short duration contracts, particularly on what contracts should be allowed to apply that methodology and some of the mechanics of that methodology. But at this meeting, we talked only really about the discounting for the liability for incurred claims. Would you like to comment on that paper?
Well, the discounting is something we have talked about a number of occasions before, and this was really to reconfirm and discuss yet again this particular issue. I think all the way through from the start of this project, even before the ISB existed, when it was an IASC project, there was an assumption that time value of money matters for insurance liabilities, that the significant timing difference between when you might get the premium and pay the claims means that you have to take into account time value of money. Obviously, there's a materiality constraint, and we're dealing with that particularly through a practical expedient, but subject to materiality and operational type issues, I think the board was unanimous in saying that time value of money does matter. I know we've had representations most recently prior to this meeting with a memorandum from, I think, the Global Alliance of Insurance Companies, and we've had representations in the past on this particular issue. And the contention is really about what is a fair representation of an insurance business and what's the best way to measure, particularly to report performance. And some say that discounting conceals the true performance. The board takes the exact opposite view and believes that discounting is absolutely necessary to really show the performance of the insurance an insurance entity. And that's my view. I believe that in order to get to the right sort of source of earnings for an insurance company, the right amount of profit attributable to an underwriting activity, the right amount of profit attributable to an investing type activity, then discounting is essential, obviously subject to a materiality threshold. But Andrew, we dealt with that mainly through a practical expedient.
Yes, I mean, of course, all requirements are applied with materiality in mind. But even so, we recognise that when you're talking about a non-life insurer that has as its biggest liability, its liability for incurred claims, that even sort of relatively insignificant amounts can be very material when you look at it as a whole. So rather than make people go through the exercise of having to prove immateriality, we've decided to provide a practical expedient from discounting incurred claims that are expected to be paid within 12 months. One of the points that came up in the meeting was what happens if your expectations change and you originally expected a claim to be paid within 12 months and it's a large, significant material claim, but in fact it then turns out that you're not going to pay it for many years. And the addition the board made on the staff recommendation was that there would be a reassessment about whether you would still be allowed to have that expedient, and the answer was no. Another point that probably is worth raising on that is, why are we providing this expedient only for one particular type of obligation, the liability for incurred claims? Why shouldn't we say that for all insurance contract liabilities? And I think it really comes down to a systems issue. I think for contracts where you're applying the building block approach all the way through, you have to do discounting anyway, and so you don't really get much benefit from an expedient. So we're really talking about limiting this expedient to where it should have the maximum effect, all the time thinking about materiality. The next topic the boards discussed was on the unit of account. Now, we've said in the past that the default unit of account is the portfolio, and in the exposure draft we had a definition of the portfolio. I think a lot of people found that definition a little bit too woolly, a little bit too vague, and it's always been a struggle to try and define portfolio in a way that achieves what we want it to achieve, while at the same time giving enough scope for people to run their business in their own way. And so we saw a series of papers looking at where the definition of a portfolio would matter, where the unit of account mattered, and what would be the best unit of account. We talked really in terms of trying to balance two competing needs, the need to group contracts to reflect the economic substance of writing insurance contracts, and at the same time to keep it small enough that you would actually get sensible answers when you looked at it overall. Steve, what was your take on the meeting today?
Well, the initial discussion, I think, was inconclusive. I think we certainly had a better idea about what the consequences are of a unit of account decision. I think that the only area where we made a concrete decision is in terms of the risk adjustment, we decided that the calculation of the risk adjustment should meet the objective that we've laid down, and we didn't need to specify a unit of account for the risk adjustment because the objective is clear, and that will automatically allow an insurer to make the appropriate adjustments in doing that calculation. Where the unit of account is much more important is for the onerous contract test, and we didn't reach a definitive decision on that.
Yeah, I think in terms of what the staff papers recommended, I think people were generally happy with the idea of it being about grouping things with similar risks, and they seem to be a little bit of solidity around the idea that they should be managed together, though there was a significant number of board members who weren't too happy with that idea. But where the board really struggled was around the expectations of profitability idea, and I think we've got some work to do on trying to work out whether that's an explanation about what similar risks mean or why it should actually really matter. And then the last topic we didn't have that much time to deal with, but it's in some ways it's a bit of a housekeeping topic on onerous contracts. You've previously made different decisions about onerous contracts, probably meaning the same thing but using different words, and the papers were really intended to try and bring together those different decisions and make sure we said the same thing when we meant the same thing. I thought it was a pretty straightforward discussion. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, and I think in interest of making sure that we had the right number of board members present for the discussions, when people had to leave to catch flights and so on and so forth, we decided to stop that discussion.
Yeah, I think we did most of it and essentially confirmed the decisions we've made in the past, but I guess that the key issue that we didn't have time to look at was whether the risk adjustment should be included in the calculation of the onerous contract test. But other than that, I think we reconfirmed in the circumstances where an onerous contract test is required, the idea that it would be based upon facts and circumstances, and that you wouldn't have to test every time and literally go through the calculation, obviously, which is important from an operational point of view.
Yeah, and one thing that came up towards the end as well, which was new since we developed the papers, was how that interplayed with the practical expedient from discounting. If you have a practical expedient from discounting, should that affect how you measured onerous contract tests? So there's still some work to do there, and we'll be coming back with that at some point. Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Steve, for the brief overview of the meeting this month. I'm sure I've heard that you find insurance one of your more frustrating topics, so I'm sure you're looking forward to discussing it again in January. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.